Let's just first of all open to Psalm 23. This was not in my text, but I would like to start from there. Psalm 23 is a very popular psalm. I guess we all know this psalm, yeah? Psalm 23, yes? Are you there? Who would like to read? I'll pause you when I need to. Psalm 23, who would like to read? Yes? Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Okay, just pause there. Amen. This is where I was going to. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And as you were reading it, he said something. He said, I shall not want. I mean, like, I don't know if you ever thought about it. What does it mean that I shall not want? I mean, another version says, I will lack no good thing. Another version says, all my needs are met. Amen. Do you understand that within God, within the Lord, all your needs are provided for? Amen. The only problem is that there are some things we want that are not within his will. Amen. And so we continue to disturb God and bang our heads. You understand? But it's because we're not putting ourselves under his leadership. Because one of the ways in which the Lord is your shepherd is that he will lead you in the path of righteousness. Amen. That shows me that actually all my needs are provided for as I walk in the path of righteousness. When I'm off the path of righteousness, I've walked out of that promise of I shall not want. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. Yeah? Now, sister was talking about the will of God. You see, the will of God is not so complicated, although it can look complicated. Okay, we have to acknowledge that. As human beings, the will of God can look complicated. But the will of God is more complicated when we are more willful. I'll explain that again. As I become more willful, what I want, what I've always dreamt about, my life being, yeah, my ambition, my goals, my dreams can make me willful. And so I have a picture of how my life should be, not how he wants my life to be. And you see, so it becomes difficult that when I'm so willful, it is difficult to walk in the path of righteousness. Because it may not always align with how I saw it. Hello? Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But you need to understand that for you, for the Lord to be your shepherd, you need to be his sheep. Amen? And what sheep do? What do sheep do? They follow. As I follow him, I shall not want. Amen? And you know I'm going to follow him? In the path of righteousness. Hallelujah. It's a trust relationship. Amen. The will of God is not difficult. If I can trust him and yield to him and follow, even if I'm in the wrong place, he will lead me to the right place. Hallelujah. There's just few steps between where you are and where God wants to take you to. Amen. It may just be one person or one phone call or one connection. Hallelujah. So even if I'm in the wrong place now, but I'm yielding to him, I'm following his instruction, I'm trusting him, he will lead me. Hallelujah. There is no better sat nav in life than the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, turn around when possible. Have you ever heard that? Turn around when bear right. Maybe he said bear right, then you turned right. You know, there's a difference between bear right and turn right. Hallelujah. So long that sat nav is still on, it will redirect you. Amen. Very important key there for you to understand that as a Christian, you are called to walk the path of righteousness. Amen. You are not called to walk the path of selfishness. Amen. And so one of the things I always do with my goals and ambitions is that they must be submitted. Hallelujah. I must submit it. Hallelujah. That's trust. When I trust that the path that God is leading me is the best. Hallelujah. The best. Hallelujah. It's the best. The path that God is leading me is what? The best. Nothing can be better. The only time your plan can be better than God's plan is when you become wiser than Him. Now open to Proverbs 5. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see there. Proverbs chapter 5. And Proverbs chapter 3. I want to talk about trees of righteousness, which, and I'm talking about walking in the path of what? Righteousness. You see, you don't need to beg God to lead you in the path of righteousness. That's what He guarantees to do. But you can miss it. Amen? God, you don't need to pray, say, God, please lead me in the path of righteousness. No, that's what He does as a shepherd. Maybe what you can pray is that, God, help me to be more yielded to your leading. Amen? He will always lead you in the path of righteousness. But you can refuse to be yielded. You know, it's possible for you to hear something and not listen to it. You heard it, but your heart is not there. You're not paying attention. So that's why you don't hear God. The reason why you don't hear God is because your heart is somewhere else. You just want Him to rubber stamp that one. Hallelujah. And you know, God is the Ancient of Days. You're not the first person that behaved that way. You know, Jacob. Jacob was a manipulator until he hit the rocks. Then he fought with God all night. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. So he said, okay, you want me to bless you? Let's start. What is your name? Very embarrassing. Because Jacob means deceiver. He said, I'm a deceiver. So now you agree. You say, yes. I can't help myself. I'm a deceiver. I've so manipulated people. I've manipulated myself. I'm now in this wilderness alone. Crossroads. Hallelujah. Until that point when he was able to come down. Then God was able to take over. Hallelujah. There's no greater peace in life than to be led by God. Amen? And to have my plans and my ambitions and my goals submitted. Hallelujah. Because every good and perfect gift, where does it come from? This is the way God taught me prosperity. Amen? This is what other people are fighting for. They are still within God's plan for me. And if I walk with Him, He will lead me there in a more peaceful and stressless way. Hallelujah. He said, but unbelievers achieve it. Yet, there's a difference between the prosperity of the believer and the prosperity of the unbeliever. The prosperity of the unbeliever comes through toil and lying and cheating and manipulation and pulling other people down. Hallelujah. But the prosperity of the believer, yeah, it comes through the Lord giving you what you don't deserve. Hallelujah. Because you follow Him. Hallelujah. He will lead you in the path of what? There may be perseverance involved, but it will get you there. Hallelujah. And he said, my peace I live with you. He said, this peace is not in the world. The world cannot give you this peace. Hallelujah. The world cannot give you this peace. But I will give you this peace. I will give you this love. I will give you this joy. Amen? When you follow the path of God, money becomes just a tool in your hands. It will not have a hold over you. I mean, there are couples that are working hard, making money, but they don't have peace in their home. No peace. But they got money. But no peace. And of course, you know that one of the biggest reasons for divorce in this country, or even generally globally, is what? Money. Money issues. It's money issues. Whether either there's no money or there's too much money. Hallelujah. But when you have God will say, you have the money, but that money will not have you. Amen? It will not have you because it's a tool. You will still enjoy righteousness and peace and joy. Hallelujah. That's the way. That's true prosperity. Hallelujah. Look at Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. We're looking at trees of righteousness. When I look at trees of righteousness, well, it involves two things. It involves walking in the path of righteousness for His name's sake and bearing fruit of
righteousness.
Hallelujah. That's who we are called to be. He said, oh, I'm righteous. He said, why are you righteous? He said, because I have right standing with God. What is the value of that right standing? Amen? If righteousness is a gift is for a purpose. Amen? Your right standing with God is what empowers you to produce fruit of righteousness. You know what, right standing means? Right standing means? It means I can hear from God. If I'm in right standing with God, He will talk to me. Amen. And when He talks, I don't have to be afraid. I say, I'm a sinner now. God will not speak to me again. Righteousness makes you understand that because of the blood of Jesus and your faith, you're a child of God. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. God will talk to me. I expect God to talk to me. It doesn't matter my past. I expect God to talk to me. Hallelujah. I expect God to talk to me. He said, He leads me. He leads me where? The path of righteousness. I believe it. You know, most of the times these things, the reason why you don't experience it is because you don't believe it. Hello? You are born again, but any part of the word of God you don't believe cannot work for you. Hello? You see, when you got born again, I know you're a believer, yeah? You believe in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You applied your faith for salvation. That's why you're born again. The day you stop applying your faith for salvation, you lose the experience. The day you believe now that Jesus is no longer Lord and He can no longer take you to heaven, you lost it. Hallelujah. So here you're a believer because you're in faith. So long you're in faith, you are saved. Any part of God's word you refuse to believe, it do not work for you. So I believe that He's leading me. What about you? That's what I believe. Amen. All I just need now is to follow. I believe I'm walking in the wrong path. Yeah? He will tell me. You know why? Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. He says, whom the Lord loves, He what? He corrects. Don't you get it? I'm in the wrong place. Yeah? He will tell me. Now, listen to this principle. If He has not told me I'm in the wrong place, I don't need to bother. Hello? You've been praying to God to move you forward. And you are doing things. It's like they are not working. But the Lord has not spoken to you and said, no, my child, you are really wrong. Just continue. He will give you the instruction you need right on time. By the way, let me stop there and say to you, you know what the meaning of Rhema? Anytime God speaks to you is Rhema. Anything God tells you directly is what? It's Rhema. Anything. Even if God tells you today, all I want you to do is sleep. That's your Rhema for today. Hallelujah. Rhema is the directly spoken word of God to you. That means that if I will live by Rhema in my life, I need to be able to hear God. And God will speak to me because I'm His child. But I won't hear Him if I've trained myself not to listen. No, let me not say it that way. How do we train ourselves not to listen? By becoming very willful. You don't understand what I mean by willful. When you always have an agenda. You always have your plan. You see, it becomes a talk of war between you and God. Because I now understand that I have a plan, but God has a plan. He said, my plans towards you are good. Hallelujah. Let me say it that way. It's better than your plan. So anytime my plan clashes with God's plan, my plan must submit. That's what it means to submit. Because another version talks about submit. You say, humble yourself. You can never submit to God until what? You humble yourself. You know why? Because if you don't humble yourself, you always think that your plan is better. I remember somebody in this church told me, said, you know, can God give me something I don't want? I said, yes. God can give you something you don't want. But He will never give you something that is bad for you. Amen. You may want something else. That's what I mean. Yeah? But you are limited in wisdom. God may be offering you something you don't want. Yeah? But He will never give you something that is what? Is bad for you. Now let me tell you something. As you spend more time in God's word, the things God wants to give you are the things you will want. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you want. Let me tell you the key to that scripture. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want and it should be done. He didn't mean that you can just ask for somebody's wife. Because if you're abiding in him and his word is abiding in you, you will not want it. Hallelujah. Even if I have a dream and I find myself desiring somebody else's wife, when I wake up, I say, that's not me. It's a suggestion of the devil. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to process it. Because that's not what I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm not struggling with that. Hallelujah. Because I'm abiding in him and his word is abiding in me. I begin to want the things that are provided for. Because I already understanding God more and more. And so that problem is not a big problem. As I abide in him, I will want what is provided for. And we know that every good and perfect gift, where does it come? From above. Let's go to Proverbs 3. I'll ask some questions. So I'm just let me do some teaching. Proverbs 3, 5 to 12. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend. I'm reading some answers now. And do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you what? He will show you what? Which path to take. Or he will direct your path. You know that those paths? They are paths of righteousness. Hallelujah. They are what? He leads me. Say he leads me. Believe it. I want you to believe it. When you expect God to lead you, he will lead you. When you expect God to teach you, he will teach you. But remember, those who are expecting God to teach them are willing to take correction. Hello? Those who expect God to teach them, they are already willing to take what? God will not bother teaching you if you don't want to. He knows you will never listen. The first time, God told you, he said no. Second time, no. Third time, no. Fourth time, he won't say anything. I do that even as a father. And I just look at the child and say, the attitude I'm seeing right now, this boy is not willing to listen to anything. So I don't even bother. Yeah? I don't even bother saying anything. So sometimes are we putting an attitude towards God? You know, like if you put that attitude, don't even go there. God won't. He's a gentleman. Amen? He's a powerful God, but he's a gentleman. Let's continue. He said, he will lead your path. And I say, don't be impressed. Now, I like this one. King James says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be impressed by your own wisdom. I told you, your wisdom is not beyond this thing in your skull. And I don't call it wisdom. I call it what? Smartness. You can be very smart, but very foolish. You will act smartly. You know, there are very smart thieves. Sometimes I ask myself, why don't they use their brain to make clean money? You know, people like that. I mean, I know some of you watch some movies. There are some very nice movies that you have these people that they are very smart criminals. Hey, one of the movies? It's Ocean something. Smart cracking codes. Why don't they use the smartness, you know, to start a company like Bill Gates? Hallelujah. So smartness is not enough. Hallelujah. He said, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be impressed by your wisdom. It's the way of the world. Look, the world will clap for you if you are smart. They will celebrate you. They will give you awards. But that's not the way of the kingdom. Amen. You know why it's not the way of the kingdom? Your smartness is little compared with the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Huh? Think about it. Imagine the smartest man ever. It's still what? Like a drop in the ocean of the wisdom of God. That's why smartness does not work in the working with God. What you need most in working with God is humility. Amen? Today I'm praying to God. I say, you know, in the last few days, I say, God, help me to be more humble. We all need a healthy dose of what? Humility. Because when I'm humble, I can follow. Most of the time, the reason I'm not following God is I have too, a sense of too much importance of in myself. The I is strong. You know? The I. That's why I say, behind every sin is pride. It may not look like that, but you look, pride is what makes you feel that you deserve something. Pride is what makes you feel that, you know, you are better than someone else. Pride is what makes you feel that, you know, you can't settle for that. Are you with me? Now, I'm not saying there's no place for us to want things. I'm just saying that the best want is the one within his will. Amen? And when you are within his will, he will guide you there. The problem is that most of the times I want to make it happen by myself. And I'm telling God to help me make it happen. But, you know, the funniest thing is that God will help you make it happen. But you need to learn to follow instruction. This is what I'm trying to say. I mean, God will not do it aside from you. He will teach you. But if you cannot, he will lead you. But you got to be able to follow. Are you with me? But you will never follow God if you don't trust him. You will never follow God if you don't what? Trust is very key. You find that actually you're going to listen to people that you're going to listen to everybody, but only those people you trust will you follow what they are telling you. And you know, many times you come to church, you hear the word of God, but you don't go and act on it. Because that's not where your trust is in. That's why you play the lottery. Hello? I'm not criticizing. I just cracked probably there. You know why? That's a backup. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. Let's continue. He says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. And say, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset. Don't be upset. You see, when correction can be difficult, there are people who find it very difficult to take correction. And let's tell you the truth of the matter is that we all fall in that category one way or the other. Sometimes we call it being embarrassed. Yeah? The more your sense of self-importance, the more difficult it is to take what? Correct. But if you are going to walk in this path of righteousness, it will correct you. And say, no, you missed it that day. So what are you going to do? Are you going to argue with God and say, no, explain, you know why I had to do it? Or are you going to just say, look, I missed it. And he may tell you, go and correct what you did. That's more difficult. You know, it's easy to say, okay, Lord, between you and me, I agree that I missed it. Let's not tell any other person. But you're not telling you, okay, go now and fix it. That's more difficult. Because now you have to admit that you're not as important as you projected yourself. Amen? Question. We are talking about trusting the Lord. The question I have is this. From Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 12, what are the evidences that you are trusting in God? What are the evidences? What are the signs that you can use to check yourself whether you are truly trusting in the Lord? Say, yes, I trust God. I know I trust God. Verse 5 to 12 gives us some signs of trusting God. How do I know that I'm trusting God with my life? Yes? Let's have some answers.
He will give us strength in our bones.
No, that's the benefit. That's the benefit. Okay. It's a benefit. I'm looking for the evidence that I am trusting God. So there are some things I'm doing that shows me that I'm trusting God. Or trusting God, does it just mean something I say? It's like, I trust God. Does that prove that I'm really trusting God? Or in Proverbs 3, 5, 2, there are some things you will do that it shows you can use to measure and say that, yes, I'm trusting God. Yes?
By worshipping him and fellowship.
Yeah, that's nice, but not in the least. But it's right, but not in the least. Yes, give me one. Proverbs 3, 5 to 12. There are some evidences that show. It starts with trusting the Lord, and it tells you all the things you will do that, you know, you can use to measure yourself that you are trusting in the Lord.
When we seek him.
When we, you know, trusting God, seeking. You know, seeking means just ask a question. I know it's funny. You have two dresses you want to put on. Yeah, but you want to trust God with your dressing. I know it's trivial, yeah? And you say, Lord, which one should I put on? The Lord even tells you, don't put on those two. Now you're trusting God with your dressing. I know it's so small. But that's if you seek. You know, if you seek Him. Yeah, if you seek Him, you say, well, what do I do? This problem, before you apply all your smartness, what can I do to solve this problem? No. I must show him that I have fire. You see, you're not even bringing God into the matter. I said, but God, look at this difficult situation. What can I do? That's an evidence that I'm trusting God. You seek Him. Yes? I saw your hand. There are many.
Yeah.
Just give me one.
When, you wait on Him to direct your path and you find peace in whatever that action you decide to take.
Yeah, He said, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. But you know, you said very important. Before I used to read it, like, all I need is acknowledge Him and He will direct my path. Actually, God directs your path. He doesn't force you to walk that walk. Hello, listen to that. God directs. Do you know what means direct? Go this way. Go that way. Wait. Sometimes most of the direction is wait. Sometimes most of the direction is just persevere. Stay there. But sometimes instead of staying there, we run away. You know what I mean? Sometimes the direction is stay there. I always have a principle. I say, until God speaks to me as you were. Amen? If God has not spoken to me, I must continue what I'm doing. Until He speaks. Amen? Because if God doesn't want me to continue what I'm doing, He will speak. Are you with me? So, God will direct my path, but I have to follow the direction. God will not force me. God never forced anybody. He doesn't force anybody to hell. He doesn't force anybody to heaven. Now, when I talk about heaven and hell, think about it as good things and bad things. He directs. We follow. Or we refuse to follow. Can you say, I will follow His direction. And I will wait until I hear His direction. That's how Saul lost his kingdom. Saul was the first king of Israel. Yeah? A tall, smart guy. He was much taller than David. Yeah? You remember the story about the armor of Saul? David was 17 years old. It was not a matter of because of his age. He was full grown. Saul was bigger, taller. Most of the people in the army were bigger. But while Saul lost his kingdom was that he could not wait. He could not wait for the prophet to come and perform the sacrifice. He did it himself. And that was it. He lost it. Yes, another one. Evidence of that you are trusting God. You will seek Him or seek His will. You will follow His directions. Any other one? Is there? For it's all from verse 5 to 12. All of them are evidence of trusting God. Yes? I hope it's from verse 5 to 12.
Attributing every success and what you've achieved to God instead of your hard work and your own means.
Okay, I will take that. Let me explain. It's all part of acknowledging God. You say, you know your ways, what? Acknowledging. You see, when I'm taking the glory, I'm not trusting God. Amen? Imagine that something happened and two of us worked out for it and then they gave the glory to, you know, let's assume myself and my wife, we work out for something, they gave all the glory to my wife. And I'm very angry. You know, and I come and make a point of correction. You see, now I'm not trusting God. I want the glory. Amen? I'm not trusting God. When we trust God, we acknowledge Him. He's my source. Even that thing you did that went well, without Him, you are what? Nothing. Amen? So, giving the glory to God keeps us humble. Amen? It doesn't matter how much you pray for humility. If you are going to take the glory, you will not be humble. Amen? And again, when you give the glory to God, it's easier to give and bless others. Because you can see the source. Amen? So you're not taking the glory. Amen? You can see that you are just a channel. You are privileged to be blessed. So it's easier to allow God to use you to bless other people. Amen. Yes, another one. Let's go to one.
By not just leaning on one's understanding alone, you need God to direct.
Amen. Thank you for that. You know, I emphasize your brain is not useless. You need to know that 1 + 1 is what? 2. And you need to know that when you are crossing the road and the car is speeding, you back off. All those, you don't need revelation for it. All you need is your brain. Amen? If I didn't have a brain, I wouldn't know the difference between Pamela and Amanda. I would think they are the same. But you see, I always say that the brain is the cart, not the horse. Amen? Your spirit should be your horse, being led by God. And then brain follows. Brain is just to execute what the spirit has said. But many times, we let our brain be our horses. Yeah? And we let our spirit be the one being pulled along. And that's where we miss it. So he said, do not lean. He didn't say you should not have understanding. He just said, don't what? Don't depend on it. Depend on God. Most of the times, the things that God will tell you, you can't even obey them if you didn't understand them, yeah? At least you need to understand what to do, then you do it. But it should follow, not lead. So don't lean on your understanding. Lean on God. Yeah? Then let your understanding help you to do the will of God. Yes, I saw some hands. Anybody has not spoken? Because of time, I don't want to do a long sermon. Yeah?
If you trust God, you're likely to overcome bouts of discouragement quicker. Or, you know, or depression quicker.
Yes.
You get discouraged. By trusting God, you're likely to come out of it.
Yes. So, the overcoming is a benefit. So, I was looking for, like, in terms of the evidence that you're trusting God. But I will link it back. Let me tell you. I'm coming. Let me say this. Most of the time in life, the reason why our faith does not produce the results we want is that we get discouraged and demoralized along the way. Nobody's immune, even pastor or prophet or bishop. Do you understand? So you are believing for something, but because of pressure, and that's a great tool of the devil, the devil can pressurize you so much that you will do what you never thought you would do in your life. Just because you become weary and you become fed up. You say, let's get on with it. And then you do the wrong thing. The devil is very, very skilled in pressure. But trusting God, so the way to link to that benefit is that when you're trusting God, you're going to keep your focus. Say, looking unto Jesus, the author and the what? And the finisher. Look at Joseph. Joseph is under pressure. First of all, he's been sold away by his family. You don't understand what's going on there. Rejection. You know, like your brothers sold you. That's rejection. That's enough reason for him to just go and misbehave for the rest of his life. He has been rejected. Not only has he been sold away, he's now living as a slave in a foreign country, far away from home. So that's pressure, pressure, pressure. But he refused to compromise. He continued to trust God. Now, even though he was refused to compromise, this evil sin now came on a platter of gold. This one, he didn't go to look for it. It came on a platter of gold and in privacy and secrecy. But he kept his focus. He said, how can I do this thing? And sin against God. Not against Potiphar, but against God. So by keeping your focus on God, you can channel it through discouragement. I tell you, one of the things you do, one of the greatest barrier to your faith walking is this discouragement that comes along. Yeah? Being discouraged, being demoralized. You must keep your focus. That's a trust. You are trusting God. Let us remember that God called Abraham to go to the promised land. But he did not get there in one day. Yeah? Did he get there in one day? He called him at 75. When did he have a son? 100 years. But that was not the end. He lived on to be like 169 years. That's Abraham. So he enjoyed that blessing for much longer than he waited for the blessing. So just say, I will enjoy the blessing of God for much longer than I waited for the blessing. That's how God is fair. God is fair. God is fair. In God's plan, even if you have to wait for a blessing, you enjoy it much longer. In fact, in Abraham's case, almost 3 times the length. he enjoyed the blessing than he waited. And the blessing outlived him. Okay? The blessing outlived him. Through the blessing, he became the father of all nations. How? Because through Isaac came Jesus. And that's how God is blessing the whole world. So tomorrow, God, Jehovah, is the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of what? Jacob. Many people have died in the past. We don't know their names. But we know Abraham. Amen? Because he kept his focus on God. One of the aspects of trusting God is to focus. You need to settle it once and for all in your heart that God can never do me evil. Amen? There are things I don't know. There are things I don't understand. Some things may happen in life that you can't explain. But as part of your trust relationship with God, can you get to a point in your life where you know that God can never do you evil? God can never be unfair to me. Never. Never, never. It's not. If there's anything I'm missing, it's not on God's part. It's on my part. And even if I'm missing something, if my heart is open, if I humble myself and I'm yielded, he's able to lead me in the path of what? Of righteousness. And I will wait there. I may not be the most popular person in life. I may not be the richest person in life. I may not be the person with the greatest reward in life, but I will follow him. I trust him. Hallelujah. Yes, let's take one or two more answers. Evidence of trusting God. Okay, second round. Okay, now, first round.
You honor him with all.
You honor him with your money. Now, I know I can say more generally, like your resources. Let me explain that part for you to understand. You don't understand. By honoring God with your money, you are keeping him at the center. You see, in our own age and time, the most important resource we have in this age and time as human beings is what? Is what? It's money. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's money. That's why people change jobs. Okay, I know you're also changing for satisfaction, I know. But if you have two jobs that will give you the same satisfaction, and one is giving you double pay, and one is giving you half pay, which one will you take? No brainer. Even if you don't take it, when you get home, your wife is like, what? Go back. Hallelujah. With money, you can, money answers everything. You can buy nice clothes. If your wife is making, you know, angry with you, you can go out and eat nice food in a restaurant. And even bring back some for her. Huh? Money. Money answers everything. And that's why one of the greatest ways that your trust in God will be tested is in money. And when you are able to partner with God with your money, you have crossed a big barrier of trust. Hallelujah. You have brought God into the most impossible area of life to trust God. Amen. So see, someone is not trusting God with their money, but he's trusting God to give them a child. Not that God will not do it. I'm just saying that, you know, they've already set themselves a barrier. God has not entered that part of your life, but you want him to do something more impossible to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When you honor God with your money by giving generously, another way of saying that is giving above 10%. I told you, if you're not giving above 10%, you are not giving generously. Forget it. It doesn't have any definition. If you say generous giving, it can never be lower than 10%. If it's lower, it's not generous. Amen? It's giving, but it's not what? It's not generous. Hallelujah. But when you honor God with generous giving, you are putting him at the very center of your worldly life, if I can say it that way, your life on this earth. Amen? Let's one or two more answers. Sister Shelley, you were going to say something. Come on. I'm rounding up now.
I wanted to say, living a holy life and staying away from evil.
Yes! I think we need to say that. Don't worry, you'll be a preacher one day. Please, I think that is not said enough in today's world. I need to understand. If you are trusting God, you will keep away from evil. You saw it in the case of Joseph. I say, you don't understand. Joseph was in a comfy place. Nobody might have known for 10 years that anything happened. Provided the woman did not get pregnant. But he said, how can I do this thing? You know? And sin against God. Amen? If I'm trusting God, I'm going to keep away from evil. I'm not keeping away from evil because someone will catch me. Amen? Amen? Don't think that because somebody has not caught you, you're okay. You know, people that come to church, they will come and praise the Lord, raise up holy hands. Then they will go, when they are in the remote place, nobody's in there, they will do evil. Yeah? You're not trusting God. That's not trust. He said, I have faith for millions. That doesn't mean you're trusting God. You just, even the unbeliever has faith for millions. They're just not doing it your way. They believe? Amen? When you trust God, I told you that's the difference between godly prosperity and worldly prosperity. Godly prosperity can only happen by God's blessing. You know why? Because you are constrained by righteousness, peace, and joy. You cannot do what other people are doing to make quick money. The only thing you can do is be diligent at your work and give. Then God himself will direct your path into prosperity. Hallelujah. Yes, one more. Anyone? I'm finishing there. Any more? Okay. So let's just summarize. So if you ask me, say, you know, like, what are the master keys to, you know, walking in the path of righteousness and bearing fruit of righteousness? I will just tell you, the first key is humility. Amen. If I can just submit myself to God and humble myself and lay down this sense of self-importance, self-righteousness, what I deserve, what I want, where I want, how I compare. You understand? All those things are the barriers for me to trust God. Imagine God telling Abraham that, look, leave where I want to, where you are. I'm going to take you to a land that you find. Of course, land is better, but it's easier to stay where you have security. It's much easier. So if I can humble myself and stop thinking of myself more highly than I ought to, I'm on the path to hearing. I will hear God better. I know it as a father. If I have a job to do, I'll look at the two of my sons and pick the one I know we easily follow the instruction. And it may not be the strongest. Because as a father, when I want something to do, I want minimum stress. So I'm not going to be the one that will stress my life most. Amen. That's humility. That's humility. And think about it. Jesus could never save the world until he left his place. You know? So I find that actually, for salvation to happen, Jesus left this place. He came down. He stripped himself of his glory and his power and started interacting with people. And some people were rude to him. In front of some of these Jesus, some people, you know, spat at him. Through that, he was able to achieve the greatest achievement. So it means that I can't walk in part of righteousness if I don't begin to lay down. Then normally, automatically when you lay down, you are doing it because you trust God. You know, anytime you lay down, there's only one reason. Because you trust God. Amen. Humility is a major key to walking in the path of righteousness. Okay, let's stop there. Let's rise up. Just thank God that you're a child of God. You know what I like about God? He did it all. And then he called us in to partake of the table. That's humility, yes. That's humility. You know, that's humility. You know, Jesus did not come as a superhero. You know, to show his might and power. No, he laid it down. And so today, I just want you just to dedicate yourself to God. I think the key thing there is that, why don't you confess to God and say, God, I trust you with my life. And I want to live that life of trusting. Trusting. Some things I'm holding tight now is because I've not let go. You know? I'm not trusting that, oh, maybe God, we, you know, maybe God will forget me. He said, don't forget me. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So even when things are uncertain, the way I want to pray about it is, Father, I trust you. I know that your plans towards me are good. I know you are, you care about me. I don't want to pray and say, God, please don't forget me. No, 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 no. That's not trust. Thank you, Father. Because even in the storms, I can soar. You are king over the flood. Trusting means being still. Being still does not mean standing like a soldier. It means trust. He said, I will be still and know you are God. You know, today may not be good. But if you follow that path of righteousness, tomorrow can be much better than today. You know? The Bible even says, don't be bothered when the wicked are prospering. Yeah? Because your time will come as you follow the path of righteousness.